Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio, and we're opening the Word today to 1 Peter, and we're going to be looking at the life of the Apostle Peter today as he is a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, as he is a witness of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember our purpose in these messages: to present Jesus. To present Jesus as the only begotten, virgin-born Son of God. To present Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. To present Jesus as the only one in whom salvation can be found. That's our purpose. That's what the Bible states. That's what Jesus himself stated. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In today's society around this world, there's many voices trying to say that there are many ways in order to get to heaven. There's not, dear friend. The Bible says there's only one way, and that way is narrow, Jesus said. He said, the way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few there be that find it, in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is that way, my friend. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. There's no other way. And that's our purpose in these messages concerning the gospel and concerning the witness of the gospel and the witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, before we get to the message today, let's take a moment to go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to rejoice in today. Thank you for the opportunity to realize that this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings, your many, many blessings, your provision, your protection, your eternal life that awaits us in heaven, all the blessings that await us there. Thank you, Father, for providing for us now and for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for being that provision. Thank you for being willing to come to the earth, to take on the form of a human being, to go to the cross, to pay sin's debt for us, a debt we could never hope to pay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the Father. You provided the way for us to gain eternal life in you and through you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the Word. Thank you for being the one who convicts us of our sin, draws us to Jesus. Thank you for being our teacher. Thank you for being our comforter. Thank you for praying for us when we don't even know how to pray. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you today. We worship you today. We thank you for your blessings and for your work in our lives. And now, Holy Spirit, as we open the Word which you gave us, we ask that you illuminate the Word. We ask that you speak through me the words that you want to have spoken, the truth of your Word. Let it be your voice that comes through me today. Help us all to hear. Help us all to heed the Word, and help us all to apply the Word to our lives, to your glory, Father, and to our good. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, we are going to God's Word in 1 Peter today. In our last session together, you will recall, we spoke of the Apostle Peter and went back to the Gospels to look at that occasion when Jesus was walking along with his disciples and they were having a conversation. They were talking about who various people have been saying Christ is. And Jesus says to them, wait a minute now. Who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? And Peter speaks up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this truth to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this truth to you." Peter was used there to proclaim the truth that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And then, remember, just a few moments later, it's as though Jesus said, "All right, now you've correctly identified me. You understand who I am. Now you understand, you need to understand why I'm here. You need to understand why I came to the earth." And he went ahead to explain to them that he must go to the cross, that he must be killed on the cross, that he must be crucified, that his blood must be shed and his life must be laid down to atone for the sins of mankind. And Peter then says, "Oh, no, 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 I won't let that happen. We won't let that happen." And Jesus speaks not so much to Peter as to the evil force that is behind Peter's statement. And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan." And he said to Peter, "You are not focusing upon what God desires. You're focusing on man's desire. So focus on what God desires. God sent me into the world to go to the cross." And we've got to remember that. You see, that's the heart of the gospel. Jesus came as God, took the form of man, born of the Virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. He walked upon this earth in human form. He was God, yet he was man. He was fully God, he was fully man. That's difficult for us to understand. In fact, it's impossible for us to comprehend that. How can he be 100% man and 100% God as well? That sounds contradictory to us, but the Bible declares it. Now, there are things that the Bible declares that we have the choice of accepting or rejecting. Now, how do we accept them? We don't accept them by understanding. That doesn't please God. We accept them by faith. God says, "My justified one shall live by faith." They'll walk by faith, not by sight. They'll walk by faith, not by understanding. So there are many things, like the Trinity, for example. Can you understand the Trinity? Can you explain the Trinity? We can do something to help us a bit, but we can't fully understand the Trinity. How can God be one and yet three? And yet that's exactly the way it's presented in the Bible. There are three personages, and yet one God. Now, we have to accept things like that by faith, or we reject them, one or the other. There are many things like this that we have to simply accept by faith. Now, we are, in our Western culture, for example, we like to have things by reason. We are a scientifically oriented culture. We like to have proof, you know. And yet, we kind of kid ourselves because we, by and large, as a society, have accepted the theory of evolution as truth. And it is not. It is still a theory. Yet I watch programs on television, nature programs, National Geographic, things like that, that they just talk like the theory of evolution is truth. And they present these theories, you know, that this is the indication of this level of rock is 5 million years old. It's 10 billion years old. And there's no way that they can state that as the truth. That's an estimate. And it may be far from the truth. I get weary of that. Now, I was trained as a scientist initially. I spent the first 10 years of my adult career as a scientist, teaching and doing research as a scientist. And then God called me to be his minister. And I changed direction considerably at that particular time. But my background, my training, much of my education is in the area of science, biology, physiology, human physiology. Much of research I did was a medical kind of research at the University of Cincinnati, at Christ Hospital, at General Hospital, what was then General Hospital. It's now University Hospital in Cincinnati. But that's been a number of years ago. But that was my training. I was trained as a scientist. Now, the basic precept in science is that you accept things on the basis of reason, and you accept things on the basis of having proof of it. You know, in science, really, a law is never proven. Any law is just one little experiment away from being disproven. But a million examples doesn't prove it to be true. It really makes you believe more that it's true when you see it repeated time after time after time after time in some experiment. But it doesn't ever really prove it, because that's only one little experiment away from being disproven, you see. And yet science, so-called science, false science, frankly, speaks of all of these things, like nature programs and National Geographic kind of programs, discovery kinds of programs, as though these things were true. You know, they just proclaim them as though they're true. And I guess most of society just accepts it and believes it. But it's not. It's our best guess. Our hypothesis in science, you see. So, you know, truth is God's truth. Truth is Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's no truth apart from Jesus, my friend. Now remember, Jesus made it all. According to the Gospel of John, He created it all. It was created by Him and for Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. We're told that we belong to Him. We're purchased by Him, by His blood upon the cross. We're not our own, Paul says. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're told in Psalm 24 that everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that is therein. Everything is created by Him and for Him. And we need to accept that. We need to believe that. It's God's truth. Now, our accepting it or rejecting it doesn't change it one bit. It's still true. Now, we can operate more effectively when we operate in truth. And that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians that all truth is hidden in Him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's singular. That's the article "the," meaning that this is it. There isn't anything else. He said, "I am the way." There's not another way. "I am the truth." There's not another truth. "I'm the life." There's not life in anything else other than Jesus. You see, Colossians says that all knowledge and all wisdom are hidden in Christ. Now, we find truth in Christ because He is truth. We find wisdom in Christ because He is wisdom. We find knowledge in Christ because He is knowledge. We find the way in Christ. The way to what? The way to eternal life. The way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We find eternal life in Him and nowhere else, only in Him. That's the gospel, my friend. Jesus. Now, Peter proclaimed that He was the Christ. And yet, just moments later, when Jesus explained to him why He came to go to the cross, Peter then was used to the devil. Now, remember, this is such an important thing for us to understand. None of us are above being used by the devil. Thankfully, any of us can be used of God. God even used the donkey in the case of the prophet Balaam. to proclaim his truth. God spoke through a donkey. In fact, God's word says in Romans chapter 1 that all creation testifies of God. He says there in Romans chapter 1 that he built you and me, every human being, with an innate knowledge of his existence. So all creation testifies of God and testifies of the Creator himself. So that is the truth of God's word. We accept it, we reject it. Now we accept it by faith. As human beings in the Western culture, we want to accept by understanding, by reason, by proof, by signs, by seeing it performed over and over again. That's the way we want to. That's the way we're trained. But God says, my justified one shall live by faith. And his word, it tells us that it's impossible to please him without faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Says that it's impossible to please God without faith, for those who come to him must believe that he is, must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. So we must live by faith, we must walk by faith, we believe by faith, we trust by faith, and not by understanding. Now, it's great when we can understand. It's great when our understanding can and does support our faith. But often our understanding will not be operating at all. For example, in believing the Trinity, the concept of the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, our understanding just doesn't get there. Our understanding just doesn't go far enough. We have to believe that, if we do, by faith, and not by understanding. In fact, God wants us to approach his whole word. He wants us to approach him by faith, not by understanding. Our understanding is limited. As smart as we think we are, our understanding is limited. Again, in Romans chapter 1, we find these words, man professing himself to become wise, man thinking that he is becoming wise, becomes a fool. The more we think we know, the more foolish we are. The more we think we understand, the more a fool we prove ourselves to be. We approach God by faith, not by understanding. Now, that may sound odd to say as one who is trained in science, but I know that to be true, my friend. I've learned that to be true. I've learned that science has its limitations. I've learned that science can only go so far. And I've learned also that true science is in Jesus Christ. All knowledge, all wisdom is in Christ. All truth is found in Christ, for he is truth. Well, Peter then was used mightily of God to proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then just moments later, Peter was used of Satan to try to discourage Jesus and try to dissuade him from the path that he was on, from the purpose for which he came to this earth, to go to the cross, to lay down his life, to shed his blood, to pay sin's debt for all of mankind. That is the purpose for which Jesus came to this earth. He is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. But that has been done. That has been accomplished. When Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished," he was simply proclaiming that the purpose for which I came into this earth is done, it's finished, it's accomplished. The debt has been paid, sin's debt has been paid. And there on the cross, Jesus paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. We need to get our mind around, we need to get our faith around the statement that God paid for all sin in Jesus Christ. that Jesus Christ has paid for all sin. There's no sin but what has been paid for. That means there's no sinner who cannot be saved. There's no one who has sinned so much, gone so far, but what God can redeem them because He's already paid for that sin. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now again, that's human beings. We'll look at a person like Hitler, for example, and say, how in the world could Hitler be saved? Look at all he did. Look at the great, huge mountains of sin. But that's no problem for God. Nothing is impossible with God. And Jesus paid for the sins of a Hitler. Jesus paid for the sins of a Stalin. Jesus paid for the sins of a Mussolini. Jesus paid for the sins of a Saddam Hussein. Jesus paid for every sin, for every man, every woman, every child. He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, in order that whosoever will may come, whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's what Peter was proclaiming here in Acts now. Now, we want to look just a moment at Acts before we get to 1 Peter. Goodness gracious. Well, let me look at 1 Peter just a moment first. Because in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sanctified with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Now that's verses 1 and 2, and that's one sentence. Jesus, or Peter rather, is saying, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to those who reside as aliens. We're aliens, my friend. Peter starts his letter by saying, we are all aliens here upon this earth. That's something we need to understand very clearly. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust in Him, when we receive Him, we become an alien immediately in this world. This world is not our home any longer. Our home is heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We become an enemy of the world. Now, we want to try to get along in the world and live in the world. Well, to a certain degree, we need to. But we need to understand that when we become a child of God, when we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become an enemy of the devil. We become an enemy of all the demons of hell. We become an enemy of the world because this world system is under the control of the devil right now. So we become aliens when we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And Peter is writing to all of us aliens, so to speak. Now, since he talks about those who reside as aliens, that includes us today, my friend. In other words, this letter of Peter is to all Christians. He was writing specifically to those who are part of the scattering, those who are part of the dispersion, those in Pontus, in Galatia, in Cappadocia, in Asia, in Bithynia, those who are the chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and by and through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure, he says. Oh, my friend, Jesus is the sanctifier. Jesus is the one who cleanses us. His blood cleanses us. Why? Because He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. So once we become a child of God, we are aliens here in this world. Now, I wanted to read this first verse to show you that Peter identifies himself as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at 2 Peter, the second letter, in verse 1, he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So he speaks of those who have received a faith at the same kind as ours, the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith to live a life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus please God. For it is impossible, remember, to please God without faith. So Peter identifies himself as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he identifies himself as a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Now, if we look back at Acts chapter 2, we look at a message brought by the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. Now, remember, Pentecost Sunday was that day that the Holy Spirit came first upon the believers, to dwell in the believers, to come and stay, to abide in believers. This was the promise of Jesus Christ. It was 10 days after Jesus ascended to the Father. Jesus ascended to the Father on the 40th day after his resurrection, and the Pentecost Sunday, or the Holy Spirit, came to indwell mankind and indwell the church on the 50th day after his resurrection. So Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost meaning 50, was the time when the Holy Spirit first came on the believers and to dwell in the believers. It's described, of course, in Acts chapter 2 here. In verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now they went down out of that upper room into the streets of Jerusalem, and it was early in the morning, around 9 o'clock in the morning, and the people thought they were drunk. No, they were drunk with the Spirit, my friend. They were filled with the Spirit. And Peter, in verse 14, begins to speak to the people. Now this was, remember, Pentecost Sunday. It was a special feast day. So the streets of Jerusalem were filled with pilgrims coming from all over back to Jerusalem, back to the temple to observe Pentecost. So there were people from all places in the streets of Jerusalem at that particular time because of this feast day, the Pentecost day. So Peter speaks to them and he preaches to them, beginning in chapter 2, verse 17, actually, is where he begins his message. I won't go through all of it, but Peter recounts the history of the Jewish people. And in verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, Jesus, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power." Down in verse 29, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear, the Holy Spirit. He has poured forth this which you both see and hear." And then down in verse 38, "And Peter said to them, Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. So Peter here, on Pentecost Sunday, is presenting Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the resurrected Savior. Jesus, the Savior of mankind. Now, if we look on over to chapter 4, then we find that Peter is preaching again. In verse 12 of chapter 4, he says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." So Peter is proclaiming to his fellow Israelites that this Jesus is the Christ. This Jesus is the Savior. And there is salvation in no one else. And dear friend, that's God's word. Dear friend, that's the truth of Jesus himself when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." And this, dear friend, is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.